Hey guys, Butters from South Park here. Just want to make sure you have your parents' permission to be listening to this. You know, sometimes we talk about some pretty racy things, like boobies. Well, I guess I'd better get going now. Enjoy the show.
Please state your name.
Cyclone Fanatic.
Please state your purpose.
Cyclone Fanatic.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Fawcast, powered by Iowa's most recommended realtor, Mark Charter. Read reviews, choose your own commission plan, and learn more about Mark at markcharter.com.
Now, hear this.
Now, please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams, Mark Charter.
I got a fever, and the only prescription is more Adam Gray.
And Adam Gray.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome to this week's podcast here at CycloneFanatic.com. Of course, we're, as always, brought to you by Iowa's most recommended realtor, Mark Charter. It's not self-proclaimed either. You can go to his website, and he's got all the quotes. What's up, Mark?
It's rainy.
It is.
Loving life.
We're recording the podcast on Thursday, obviously, and it's kind of crappy out. Kind of like Adam Gray's whole existence. How are you, Adam?
Crappy.
Go to hell, Williams.
I love it.
I had to censor myself.
I came up with a new business idea just within the last 30 seconds, by the way.
Oh, boy.
Do you guys ever watch Real Time with Bill Maher?
No.
Any of those shows?
No, I don't get HBO.
Well, anyway, it's
political. I don't have money
It's a political show, and they run the show for an hour, but then after the show is over, they say to continue watching us, so the guests stay on the show and everything, go to HBO.com, and you can just watch it live there. So it's not broadcast, but they still do it, and they take questions from the audience, etc. And I was thinking, like I was telling you guys, we just had a full Fawcast before we even started the Fawcast.
We did,
yeah.
So we need a way to let people watch behind the scenes, because behind the scenes is frankly much more interesting.
But there's no such thing as behind the scenes then.
I would know that it's recorded and I wouldn't say half the stuff that I say.
Me too.
That's probably true. All right. Yeah. We're going to scratch that idea. That was an awful idea. So what's going on this week? Gray's house sold since last we met, I believe.
It did. It closed. I wrote a review on Trulia. For a
bunch of spelling errors.
I kept it short and simple because I'm not the writer that you are. So I know my strengths, and my strength is not writing. But
was
I did
your review better than Rob Gray's?
No, that was the thing. Mine was the next review, I believe.
Yeah, might have been.
Try following that one up. Can't do it.
Rob did a good job.
But I kept it short and sweet, and I just said what a great job Mark and his entire team did, because he does. He's got a good team there that handles a lot of the little stuff that I would never even think about needing to get done. So it was. It was a smooth transition.
I can't wait till I sell Williams' home to see what he's going to write.
When are we going to do this?
Professional writer,
you know,
there
is a big house for sale up in Ames now, and with your high level income, you could probably afford it now.
Although Hoiberg's house is sweet, I've been there.
I'm going to find you a little house on Lake Charming. And get you,
dude.
Get
that you lake that I told you about yeah, that I want that
know.
I love.
I know.
A house burned. Down there last week. They don't have fire hydrants.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
They got a lake.
Well, they had the pond, but it just wasn't time.
Yeah.
But no, it's beautiful out there. Just north of Bondurant, there's a private lake out there.
Really?
Woodlands Lake.
Does that make you not want to live there now? There's no fire hydrants?
No, but I saw that, though.
Do they have fire hydrants in Clarinda?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they do. Okay.
You got all that good stuff. Steve Prohm, nobody wants to hear what I think because I've been talking about it for an entire week, so I'll let you two gentlemen tee off.
Do I get like 10 minutes just to kind of go without you guys interrupting or saying anything? Or
you or Charter, who wants to go first?
That's impossible.
That is impossible.
Interrupt or say anything.
I know.
Feel free. Hey, have at it.
Okay. Well, you know, the first, I'll just be upfront and honest, and I guess I'll put my name to it now so people can look back and whether I'm right or wrong down the road. But when Fred Hoiberg first got announced, I know a lot of people were surprised, stunned. Some were even angry that he was the guy with no head coaching experience. I remember being just ridiculously excited, thinking he's going to be a great coach. When I heard Prohm, I'll be honest, the first thing I thought of was what? Who? Huh? Then I did a little research. I like to hire more. But you look at this guy, and I don't care if it's him or Underwood or TJ. There's going to be pros and cons of each guy.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the cons might end up not being cons later, and some of the pros might not end up being pros later. But the two things that concern me with him is no Midwest ties, and that can be something that he can go out and get assistance, and then all of a sudden that's not as big of an issue. So, but we don't know who the assistants are right now. So right now that's a con. And the fact he has no major coaching experience, let alone mid-major. I mean, let's be honest, he's coached the lowest of the mid-majors, whether he's been an assistant or a head coach. And I don't care who you are. When you walk into Fog Allen for the first time and that place gets rowdy, that doesn't affect just a player shooting a jump shot. That affects a coach. You know, they get rattled a little bit there too. And, you know, Fred Hoiberg had never coached before, but he'd played in Fog Allen. He'd played in the NBA. He'd been in those big stages before. Yeah. That stuff didn't bother him at all. Will it bother Prohm? I don't know. You don't know. But I think that's something you can look at and say that is the concern right now. With that said, he obviously has – Fred Hoiberg coaches the same style of offense as him. That's great. He seems like a guy that really cares about his players. I think his players will play hard for him. They'll be exciting for the fans to watch. And, you know, overall, he seems like a pretty good guy. And so I think it's a hire that, you know, it could be good. But let's be honest, what he does this year is not going to matter. It's years 3 and 4, really, that are going to set him apart. Because I think people will give him a pass even next year, as his second year as coach. Third and fourth year is when it'll really just be determined whether this guy is a good coach. And what I don't want to see, and I've talked to you about this before, Chris, I don't want all of a sudden him to go out and we win 30 games next year. And I don't think we're going to win 30 games, but let's say we do. And all of a sudden, the next thing you know, we give this guy an extension and give him $2 million.
Absolutely.
That's the last thing I want.
I said that the day he was hired on KXNO, and it got met with a lot of Cyclone fans thinking I was being negative, but it's not. It's more being no matter who the coach is, you've got to – we can't be talking raise at this point next year, no matter who you hired.
And a good buddy of mine, Josh, he's actually one that pointed this out before Scott Prohm was even hired. He goes, I don't care who
Steve
you...
Prohm.
What did I say? Prohm?
You called Scott. Him Scott.
Steve.
You were thinking Scott Drew.
Wow.
That's all right.
No, it's embarrassing. It is. Okay.
He's only been here like a week. It's not a big deal.
And like I said, didn't know much about him before.
Yeah, there you go.
So he doesn't care who the coach is. He goes, I guarantee they'll be jockeying for a raise after we win 25-30 games.
And a good agent will do that.
Yeah, and he goes, and Iowa State should put almost in the contract, no raise no matter what. Because it's just they're walking into a perfect situation.
Yeah.
You got experience back, you got talent back. I mean, what else can the guy walk into?
As we've already figured out, the contracts mean nothing in college basketball.
Yeah,
five-year deal, 10-year deal, 20-year deal, doesn't matter. Putting in a contract and won't ask for a raise wouldn't matter. They're still going to ask for a raise. And if Iowa State goes to the Elite Eight, the real issue is if Iowa State goes to the Elite Eight or Final Four, then you don't need to worry about the raise as much as this coach taking off, because other people will come calling.
Yeah.
Even though they know, logically, this isn't even his team. He's still linked to it.
Well, I mean, you look
guilt,
at his...
Guilt by association in a good way.
Yeah. Well, you look at his first Murray State job, right? He is his first year ever coaching. He took over Billy Kennedy's team for Texas A&M. They won like 30 games, I want to say, that year.
Yeah,
they won a game in the NCAA tournament. Mississippi State offered him a job after his first year, and that wasn't his team. That was Billy Kennedy's team. So you know it can't happen. You know he can get offered a job after being at Iowa State for only 1 year, because it's happened before. Good news for Iowa State fans there. He did turn down that Mississippi State job, was loyal to Murray State. Hopefully he would be to Iowa State.
I almost predict that will happen. They're going to have a good year.
He'll get offered.
I truly believe that, because he has a great reputation way beyond what he's going to do next year at Iowa State, and he is a perfect candidate for some sort of an SEC team. So, it all comes down to him. It's like, how much does he it here? No, hopefully a lot.
It's a predictable pattern, too, because once he gets offered or the interest leaks again, that's when the raises come, because, okay, we're about to lose another guy, et cetera. The part that I liked about, well, obviously Fred being from Ames, it still wasn't enough to keep him in place, but there was that he doesn't want to go anywhere. We knew he wasn't going to another college.
Exactly.
Yeah. Prohm, obviously, could go anywhere. But say what you want about coach like Paul Rhodes, who obviously you interviewed today, that I'll listen to later. But you honestly feel like he wants to be here.
Yeah.
And Iowa State fans value that, I think, over wins and losses. I truly believe that.
Well, look at Johnny Orr. Johnny Orr's win-loss record is really not that great. But Johnny Orr came from Michigan, which was a big program, and he stayed.
We appreciate the loyalty.
Absolutely.
He chose us over Michigan.
And then never chose anyone else after that again. So now people want statues of Johnny Orr.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
and that may seem naive, and Fred got us into winning, and winning is great. It's been fun to win the Big 12 tournament the last couple of years. It's a heck of a lot more fun to go down to Kansas City and win than it is to lose in round one and you're headed home. Mm-hmm. Way more fun. But I'm telling you, as a whole, speaking as an Iowa State fan, talking to Iowa State fans, going to games, people care, in my opinion, more about the loyalty from the coach than they do about the wins and losses. Much, much more so. And that sounds kind of dumb, and I get that. But Chizik just burnt the fan base for all time.
Yeah.
And we don't want another Chizik ever.
Yeah.
So if he leaves after 1 year, essentially he's another Chizik.
I'm not saying – I want to clarify. I'm not saying I think he's going to leave after a year, but I bet if they're really good next year
– other schools will come calling.
He'll probably have an opportunity. Yeah. Now, and that's why I want to know what his buyout's like. I'd like to see all that. The contract's not up yet, so we haven't been able to look at it. But, I mean, at this point, he seems like a good guy.
Yep.
You take him for his word and – He seems to be really excited about the situation. I wonder, though, and I doubt it. I mean, the one thing that really made him want to come here was the roster.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Without this top 10 roster, I doubt Steve Prohm's Iowa State's head coach.
And the extra $1 million.
I was going to say.
He's making this year.
I wonder what – you said Mississippi State offered him?
Offered him, and he turned it down his first year at Murray State. Yeah.
I bet it wasn't for $1.5 million after 1 year at Murray State.
Probably not.
I didn't know that he was actually offered that job.
I believe so, unless I read it wrong, which would not be the first time.
He comes out of these situations sounding soulless and devil-like as agents.
Oh, they're horrible.
You ultimately talk about it's the coach that has to make the decision. But behind the scenes, it's the agents that are pushing these things. And obviously the agent is very financially driven to get these deals done. But they don't have any loyalty to these schools. They have one goal, and that's more money for my client, more money for me, which is good. That's their job.
Mm-hmm.
But they screw things up royally in this process and don't care about the fan base either.
Do you look at the fact that he came from Murray State, which is a winning program? I looked it up. They've won the OVC conference, which do you know what OVC even stands
for? Ohio Valley.
Okay. Good job. I didn't know that. the Ohio Valley Conference, 15 of the last 25 years. I mean, that's Kansas-like. They've dominated that conference. Do you think him coming from there, a winning program, is a pro or a con? And the reason I ask that is, I mean, obviously he's used to winning. And like Jamie Pollard said in the press conference, we want a winner. Fred Hoiberg is a winner. This guy's a winner. But at the same time, is he a winner, or is the program just a winning program in a crappy, crappy conference?
Probably a little of both.
That's a scary part, because
I think there's element of truth to both.
That's what I'm saying.
Both comments that you just made, yeah.
Because I think I talked to you about this earlier. It's almost very Butler-like. Butler has dominated the Horizon League for years. They've had great coaches like Thad Matta come out of there, but they've also had a Barry Stevens. They've also had a Todd Licklider. And Todd Licklider, people can kill him, but he was coach of the year at Butler. Mm. He went to the Sweet 16 at Butler. So hopefully, we got ourselves a Brad Stevens or a Thad Matta. And not ourselves.
An interesting question is, would you have rather hired Prohm, who's a stud in the Ohio Valley Conference from Murray State?
Yeah.
Murray State means nothing. They're a blip on the map. Let's just face reality.
Nope.
Hire him or the last place coach in the SEC, whoever that happened to be.
No, Prohm for sure.
Prohm for
absolutely.
Sure.
No question.
You don't think the league's offer a lot of value to what the coach can potentially be? Been there, done that, coached big games, et cetera, versus he hasn't coached any Iowa State, Kansas type games before. Just hasn't done that. So maybe he'll be over his head. It's possible. We don't know.
I will say this. He was around a bigger program at Alabama as a student manager for 4 or 5 years, I want to say. So he was around a program, but he's never been a coach for a program. So
the one good thing is his mentor, Billy Kennedy, has had some success.
Great. I mean,
at Texas A&M, he just pulled in a top 10 recruiting class. So if you're looking for trends, positive trends, he's basically Billy Kennedy Jr.
Yeah.
Is what Prohm is. So Kennedy had some success, and that would lead me to believe that Prohm will as well. And his style, too. I mean, the Butler thing's a great point. But, those guys were recruiting system guys and – I feel like Proms actually had to have like legit athletes.
A system is a system, though. I mean, I know we talk about this in football. People got all excited about the spread offense, and spread offense is only good if you know how to run it, and you run it well, and you have players that can run it. I mean, yeah. Getting up and down the court's great, but are you efficient? Are you scoring? Do you have players that can get up and down the court? Those are the questions.
But the best coaches are the ones who coach around their team, not necessarily make their team adapt to the way they want to do it.
And I think
that's what Fred was so good at over 5 years.
And I guess I'm coming across as being very negative. I think he's going to be he'll be a very good coach for Iowa State. But there's questions, and I think the questions will get answered over the next couple of weeks as far as who he brings in for assistance, as far as where they're going to go, as far as bringing in players and where their connections are going to be. But if he can bring in players, he seems like one of those guys that will work his way to being a good coach. Bloom said it best. Did you read the last sentence of Bloom's?
Yes.
I think he said, Fred Hoiberg can pick up his golf clubs, and he can go out and fire even par.
Yeah.
Steve Prohm needs to go out and practice for hours on end, and then he'll be that good. Both work. It's just a different way of going about it.
My question now that he's in place is, what are your guys' thoughts for this year? Do you think Prohm, obviously, is the head coach, but does Prohm basically take his foot off the gas a little bit and say, guys, run with it. You know what you're doing.
He doesn't seem like that type of guy to me.
Like system, although it's similar to Fred's, does he try to implement in year one and potentially screw things up a little bit?
No, I think he guns a-blazing, man. I don't – just based off of being around him the one day that I was, I don't see Steve Prohm being hands-off with this team, and it might be good for this team. A lot of times guys who have multiple coaches, you know, there's just Fred out of strength and Steve Prohm has his strengths. Maybe it will be a positive thing, but no, I don't see him being hands off at all.
Yeah.
I see him being very hands on actually.
I think and I would hope that he would lean on George and Monte and Naz for the leadership.
And Jameel's been a great leader throughout this whole deal.
And just listen to them more than I guess next year when it's a lot younger team. He'll probably have to be a little bit more hands-on as far as coaching goes because they don't have as much experience.
Yeah, you've got coaches on the floor.
Exactly.
These guys,
and so they can come off the floor at a timeout and say, hey, coach, I think we should do this. And if he's smart, I mean, you don't listen to everything they say, but you got to listen to it, take into account what's going on in the court, how they feel.
Yeah.
And play to your strengths there. And I think George Yang's a strength.
I just hope that Prohm learns to use his timeouts a little bit better than Fred.
I was waiting for that to come.
That was my major critique of Fred. It drove me nuts.
I was waiting
for that. Teams would go on too big of a run before he would call a timeout, and I hated that. Hated it. It's like, you got timeouts. Kill this momentum now.
Now there's only three timeouts in the second half, not four.
Scott Drew rule.
Scott Drew's done by the first 16-minute timeout mark. He's done.
So where does this, for people that are curious, where is a month from now? My phone's ringing. A month from now, where is TJ at? Because he's in the mix, obviously, one way or another.
I have no idea.
I don't either.
Speculation.
It's 50-50.
50-50.
I mean, if Prohm's smart, he'll keep him.
Yeah. Is Prohm smart? That's the question.
It's just, you know, it's here's the good thing. That if you want to keep TJ, like, Steve's been a head coach. Mm-hmm. A lot of times these guys, like Chizik, for instance, they always have it in their mind, like, when they become a head coach, what they want to do.
Yeah.
And they've got, like, their staff. Like, it's, you know, it's like this dream staff that they want, and they've got guys that they've already – not necessarily promise, but always had in mind. Like,
well,
I think. Yeah. And I think Prohm is smart enough to look at this and go, okay, this guy's proven track record recruiting here. He recruited most of the guys on this team. It's some continuity. If ego stays out of the way, TJ will be here, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and it's a weird spot for Steve Prohm, too, where this is the guy who also applied for the job that you just got.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
They're awkward.
It is awkward. But like, say, I mean, if those two guys, I know TJ very well, I'm getting to know Coach Prohm, but I think if they just sit down and talk about it, it's best case scenario. Where could TJ Otzelberger go now that will win as much as Iowa State will next year?
Yeah.
Nowhere. Like, there's no job. It's June 11th, mm-hmm, for crying out loud.
I know, but if he goes to Kentucky, they might be all right.
Might be a decent place to go.
I don't know. I think it's 50-50, but I think it's best for everybody involved for him to be in.
Yeah.
And people, he's got infant twins, you know, like there's
not a
friends
good time
here.
To move.
His family's close. His family's from Wisconsin, right?
His family's from Wisconsin.
That's not far.
Allison, his wife, has all of her friends here.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a situation where I think if he's got an opportunity, he'd probably like to stay.
Yeah.
If only he had been named the head coach. Wouldn't be a problem. So I did take that beautiful drive, by the way, Chris. Not the one you're talking about on the ferry, but
your trip to Seattle.
Went to Seattle.
So what happened? Did you go out and see the vampires?
Did not see any vampires, but we went up in the Space Needle, got to Seattle, went there, saw the views from the city. That was great. I actually I'm intrigued by the Periscope app. I really am. I don't know if you guys saw this, but I went on.
Yeah, you were doing
podcast
like hole by home.
And did well. No, I did that too. But prior to that, I got on Periscope via our Fawcast Twitter and live shot the scene from the top of the Space Needle. So I had my phone up and was showing people what it looks like.
How many
top
people were watching?
Like, I only did it for like maybe 3 or 4 minutes, but there was 20 plus people that hopped on there and were watching.
That's cool.
It's cool because like people can like it, I guess, and like little hearts float up on the screen. I'm like, okay, that's kind of cool. But it's just cool that you can show somebody, here's the view from the top of the Space Needle.
Is this Periscope app, is it free?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, Twitter owns it. That's why it's connected to Twitter.
Oh, gotcha.
So,
okay.
But from there we went to... I was going to ask you guys' comments too on the Triple Crown, because we went across the street from the Space Needle to a sports bar just in time for the Belmont. And it was, I don't know, do you guys get goosebumps during a horse race? Especially
no.
when it looked like he was going to win.
I mean, I was like on the edge of my seat, but I didn't have goosebumps.
Yeah, but it was funny because we were in this place with, you know, total strangers and people were like freaking out going, go, go. Yeah. You know, people were pumped to see this horse finally do it. So that was cool. And then we stayed at a resort like an hour and a half away from Seattle. So leaving Seattle, it was nothing but like through the mountains. And I don't know how many pine trees are in the state of Washington.
A lot.
But it has to be like a billion pine trees. Because for an hour and a half, it's nothing but solid mountains and pine trees.
That's what makes
everywhere
me,
you look.
That's what makes me think like Sasquatch is alive somewhere.
I mean, so...
Pine trees make people think that...
Think about like the Northeast.
How much room there is there. Nature.
That nobody's even seen.
Yeah.
Like there's got to be... You're telling me that there's nothing anywhere?
Well, there might be something, but Sasquatch?
Yeah.
Ridiculous amount of trees. But no, you know, I was...
Sasquatch type creature.
As people always say, the best part about a vacation is coming home. You get to return back to what you're comfortable with, and that's true. But when it comes to beauty, Iowa's not exactly at the top of the list.
Oh, man. I disagree.
We've got some spots here that are good.
Screw you.
Make the drive from the Des Moines airport to Ankeny, like I did, the drive from Seattle airport to where
I
stayed.
There's no more of a beautiful drive than from Atlantic down to Clarinda, down Highway 71, with all the fields and the creeks and the ponds. Oh, my gosh. I'm getting a chubby just thinking
about
it.
See, that's not Central Iowa you're describing.
Yeah, Central Iowa sucks.
Northeast Iowa... is a good looking spot if you've been there.
I've heard that it doesn't even look like Iowa.
No, it doesn't. It's there's bluffs and not mountains, but hills, and especially the fall. It's a good looking place in the fall. Driven up to La Crosse before and went through Northeast Iowa. They got a cave up there. You can get a little boat.
There's a cave.
There's a cave. It's I think it's in McGregor. Maybe does that sound right? Like you go in this this canoe or this boat, and you go in the water in this cave, and the roof of the cave is like right over your head. It's kind of claustrophobic, actually.
Oh, that would drive me crazy.
But no, there's some good spots. It reminds me of Ye Old Mill at the fair. You guys ever ridden on that?
No,
but you haven't lived yet. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh,
I don't go to the fair.
Ever?
The yield, is it the thing you go in the, yeah.
Yeah, it's the white building, and it's like the tunnel.
We've had fun in there before.
Jeez. Great sex on ye old mill.
I didn't say that.
Is that what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that.
But the look on your face. And
the way you
we had fun. We had an enjoyable time.
You were insinuating doing the nasty.
No, you guys just have dirty minds. I was just insinuating we had a good time.
You simulated a sex act with your hand while you did that. What was that about?
Is that on Periscope? Did you get that on Periscope?
No. So Seattle was beautiful.
Why didn't you go to the vampires? I told you to.
I looked for him. I didn't see it.
No, but you got to cross the peninsula.
We were on somewhat of a schedule, so didn't have time.
But so how did John golf?
John golfed. Here's what I was telling Gray, too. John golfed okay. Golfed okay. He shot a 75 and a 78. They play 36 holes in one day, which is exhausting because they walk, and this is a hilly course with an hour in between the rounds. So he didn't qualify. The three people qualified from there, that site. All three of them went to the University of Washington and would have been familiar with this course. John played one practice round. That's a big, big difference if you play it a lot. So the winner...
This isn't the Clarinda Country Club.
No, the winner that advanced, though, the winners, I think the lowest score...
Not nearly as beautiful.
The lowest score over 36 holes was roughly one under par. So it was a very, very tough course. And in comparison, I was telling Gray that they had another one in Tennessee, another qualifier that same day. The winner of that tournament was 17 under. So the difference in quality of course and difficulty is huge from course to course. John decided to play in Washington. He liked the look of it. Made sense for him to go out there. He could have gone to Tennessee as well, but he would have had to shot 15 under, 16 under, 17 under to be in like the top three, top four.
Man, that seems like he's almost playing like Jester.
So it was cool though, because one of the guys that did make it and will be playing in the US Open was in John's group. And I walked with John, and his name was Richard Lee, and he's a pro golfer.
Were you talking smack?
No, not talking. But he was like...
Did you ever like burp or fart during the...
Do you ever have those feelings? Do you ever have those terrifying moments? I think people do have these, and I've had them my whole life, and I've never actually done them. So it's just in your brain where, you know, you're at a wedding, you're at church, you're on a golf course. You're in a moment where you're supposed to be quiet, not say anything. And someone's getting ready to putt, and you're in your brain saying, I'm about to yell... Right when they putt, and you never do.
I do it all the time.
You never do.
I always think those thoughts.
But why do you think I'm about to suddenly blurt something out? Like I have
actually,
no control.
I had a moment like that during the Steve Prohm presser the other day. It's like, what if I would ask this question right now?
Yeah,
I do that all the time.
It's just, you know, it's our inner demons coming out saying you're about to screw things up big time.
What about you, Gray? Do you ever get that feeling?
No. Well,
don't lie.
No, certainly. Like yesterday when you were getting ready to hit a shot, I wanted to yell something in your backswing.
Mashed potatoes.
Not mashed potatoes. I'll never forget. So Cheeser once, we were at my brother Ryan's bachelor party down in the Ozarks, and there was probably 20 people golfing. There's five foursomes, and my brother was the first to go off as it was his bachelor party, and we're playing at Old Canter Hook Golf Course. I don't know if you guys have ever been down there, but there's houses.
Yeah, I know exactly
where that is. Little condos all around there. And Ryan gets up there, and you can tell he's nervous because he's got 20 guys all around him. And right in his backswing, he's getting ready to come through. Cheeser yells, get naked. And Ryan, like, snap hooks it off a house, like 15 feet to the left. Cheeser yelled, get naked right
he's
there.
He's my favorite.
Oh, yeah. And Ryan was – everyone died laughing, and Ryan was pissed, and he ended up chasing Cheeser around the golf course for a couple minutes.
Where did the nickname Cheeser come from, by the way?
You know, that's a good question. The rumor is that my aunt called him that. First, it was mac and cheese because he liked just eating macaroni and cheese.
He likes dairy.
He likes dairy, yeah. And so now all of a sudden it's just cheese. I think it's because he used to fart a lot. He cut the cheese, but what do I know?
A nickname with no true origin story to it. So I don't know if you guys have anything else to talk about.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about so you're trying to get Steve Prohm to enlist you as an agent.
It's probably too late already. So,
well, I bet you he hasn't bought anything yet.
Well, I tried my best. I went on the forum and asked for a phone number.
I feel like Coach Prohm would really enjoy the podcast if he could, if he would just listen to it. So, I feel like this is right up his
alley. Let me ask you guys this question. I mean this with all sincerity and legitimacy.
Okay.
Do you think that what I'll call the higher ups, we'll call it Pollard, Rhodes, used to be Hoiberg.
No, whoever
that is,
always the higher power.
Okay, right? so whoever.
So
those,
you've got all the guys you just mentioned in Hoiberg.
So whoever those people are, okay, in the athletic
Hoiberg
department,
still runs this athletic department.
Okay, so Hoiberg, do you honestly believe that any of those people are aware of the podcast?
Yes.
And what we say here.
Probably.
Why do you feel that way? I'm genuinely curious.
There are people who work in the Jacobson Building who have texted me like, I know that a bunch of them listen to our podcast in general.
Yeah.
So
I don't know if they like would listen because they just want to hear what's being said, or they're listening to like alert people if we're talking
trash
about them.
There's probably a little bit of everything. I think a lot of it is it's just high quality entertainment.
So I made the point. Here's my point. So I went on and made a somewhat facetious, silly post on Fanatic about, does anyone have Coach Prohm's phone number? Because I want to call him. Now, did I actually expect somebody to have Coach Prohm's phone number? No. I would have been very surprised by that. Although somebody did private message me his office number at Murray State, which I said, well, it ain't going to be at his office. So, and then
it could be forwarded
to his cell
phone.
And then messaged me his wife's email address because she was a school teacher in the Murray District.
Oh.
And also emailed me, I don't know where this came from, I didn't call it, but emailed me Steve's dad's phone number. Another guy called or
that's weird.
Another guy texted me and said, I'm friends with the Murray State football coach. I'll reach out to him for you. So my fellow fanatics were
dude, we have some connected dudes.
Trying to help me out. So I appreciate those guys. My point in this forum message though, in which I got in trouble, was not in trouble, just told I was rude, was that I said, so Iowa State, and I have no idea. So I am genuinely curious about this. Okay. So anyone listening who knows this answer, I'd love to know it because I am curious. Iowa State, to my knowledge, has a, what I'll call a system in place where new hires to the university, new coaches coming in, generally get hooked up with an agent. The university would say, because, you know, Steve Prohm has no idea who to use for an agent, right? So university says, hey, Steve.
Why wouldn't he go to Iowa's most recommended
route? Well, because Steve doesn't know. But so Iowa State, someone at Iowa State is saying, Steve, by the way, this is the agent that we recommend.
Yeah.
Okay. And in the past, that's been an agent, and I'll mention her name now because I don't care anymore, but that's been in the past an agent named, okay, well, she's a very good agent, a successful agent. Okay. Been in the business a long time. Okay. She's not young. And I made the point on there that Iowa State typically hooks people up with her, and that she's near retirement, which I believe, and also is known for being crabby, which I believe. I've done deals with her, okay? She's not known for being a ray of sunshine like Mark is. So some people on the forum took great offense to the fact that I blasted her and said, how dare you say someone is crabby? And I think I also used the word cranky. Okay, that's as bad as it got.
You called her crabby and cranky?
Isn't that the same thing?
In two different posts.
Oh, okay, okay. Okay.
Two different posts. So people said, a few people, now this, it's always more weighted towards good things. People came to my defense, but a few people said, it's unprofessional that you'd bash another agent and blah, blah, blah. And
so you're apologizing?
No, oh. No, I'm not apologizing at all, because do I feel like she's a crabby? Yeah, I do. You know, and I would say,
man, we're getting into like some real estate.
I would say you're crabby. And she would probably say, yeah, I probably am. You know, it's one of those things. I'm not hiding that. But I'm curious about, and I don't know the full story.
Do you think she's a very good agent, though?
She's a great agent.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. She's aggressive, which partially leads to the crabby part.
Yeah.
She's aggressive. Very successful. One of the top agents in Ames for a long time. So I'm not saying that Iowa State is hooking people up with the wrong person or an unsuccessful person. I never said that. Didn't say anything like that in the post. I was describing her personality. And my point is, would a coach like Steve Prohm have more fun house hunting with her or with somebody that does like a Fawcast and is an Iowa State fan, et cetera? That was more the larger point.
I don't know. Did you listen to the interview with him and KXNO?
Unfortunately, I did not.
Crabby might be right up his alley. I don't know.
I think he had that first day, though, like...
I'm just kidding.
No, but think about how many questions that guy answered.
I know.
In one day.
Well, and it's got to be completely different from Murray State, where there's probably, what, 2-3 reporters there?
He did
there.
Say that. He told me that, too.
That was one of the
first
topped,
thing
probably.
He said. He's like, man, there's a lot more media here.
Yeah.
Yeah. No,
he seemed actually very appreciative of it. I think he thanked you guys like 4 or 5 times on the KXNO show. I thought he...
Yeah, I think he was very overwhelmed.
He was.
First day.
I was just making a joke because he seemed dead tired in that interview.
Couldn't agree more.
Was Marty there asking about handicap parking spots?
Dude, that was great.
It's the greatest question ever asked.
It wasn't the question that did it. The question was great, but if you watch the video, like... Fred's not looking at Marty. Marty's not looking at Fred. He's standing right next
Fred's
to him.
Fred's just rolling his eyes.
Fred's just like, Marty's just kind of holding nonchalantly the mic right there next to him and asked the question. And Fred just doesn't even turn, doesn't even look at him. Like, what did you just ask me?
That's why Fred's the GOAT right there.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's phenomenal. It's just 99% of the other guys would turn and be like, are you kidding? What?
It's all cool. Oh, like, he's just cool, calm, and collected.
Always.
Yeah.
God.
So anyway, so I do want to welcome new podcast listeners, by the way. If that forum got a, somebody said they were going to listen for the first time. And if that's true.
What?
Well, you know what that brought up for me was how does not everyone on Fanatic not know about the podcast? That makes me think Gray's not doing his job. That was my immediate thought. Gray?
I don't upload these. That's Williams.
You got to promote this thing.
There is a, there's a level of the population who don't even know that podcasts exist in general.
And not only that,
like, but my dad, for instance, I mean, he didn't know these things existed until I was like, hey, Dad, you should start listening to this.
Yeah. And now he listens religiously.
Yeah. Like he,
what's up, Mike?
There's some people. Yeah. He's listening right now. What's up, Pops? Some people have no clue like what a podcast is yet.
My dad has never listened to one of our
podcasts. And especially podcasts. A podcast.
The good thing for you is...
My dad does listen, by the way.
The good thing for you is I don't know. I haven't run the demographics on our listeners, but I would guess it's a younger demographic.
They're young.
And they're all going to be buying more expensive houses in the future.
You grow as they grow.
Yeah.
That's the way I look at it. And I bet you there's a lot more people on the website right now that are posting that probably hadn't posted in a while just because of the fact that what's been going on the last couple of weeks.
So what's been going on?
You know, shut up.
Jeez.
Yeah. But so all of a sudden they're seeing it, they're posting, and they're saying, I'm not familiar with the podcast. Well, they're more active at Cyclone Fanatic than they've probably been in the last 2 years. Let's just be honest. We've had more
traffic has been stupid.
Up 400 and some percent in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But for those of you
this is after the news actually broke, not when you guys were just trolling for page clicks.
Just fabricating that Hoiberg would leave to the NBA.
You know, when everyone was accusing you of that, honest to God, our site traffic was no higher than it normally was. It wasn't until it actually came out that he was probably going to leave that all of a sudden, boom, it skyrocketed. Before that, though, when you and Bloom wrote your articles, it was pretty much the same as it always is. And it's amazing, too, how Bloom ended up being kind of right on what he said. But you know what? Let's talk about something else.
Let's not give him too much credit.
Yeah. He just got lucky.
By the way, as a reminder real quick, so we're talking about Fawcast, our event's coming up on the 26th.
Oh, yeah.
Just to drop that. Bench warmers starting at 6, 7. When are we starting?
I'm going to show up at 6. People can show up. I figure we'll probably get the band going about 7:30, 8 o'clock.
We got a live band. The Array will be playing.
We have to figure out how we're going to raise money.
Well, we're going to have T-shirts and working on that. So we can sell T-shirts and donate the proceeds.
Okay.
That's one way. We'll have a nice, soft Fawcast.
Have we talked to Benchwarmers? Is there any way we could get like a dollar for every beer?
Benchwarmers, every sale, I believe they're giving a certain percentage of.
Oh, okay.
I don't know the percentage. He told me I have it written upstairs.
So we got to just do like a pass a hat.
Here's what I'm willing to do. Can I tell you what I'm willing to do to raise money?
I like this. Let's hear it.
I've done this before from time to time, and I'll be the first to admit it may not result in anything, but I'll make the offer nonetheless. If anybody comes to this event and gives me, and I'll limit this to one person, but gives me either their own name or the name and number of someone else that needs to either buy or sell a home that I can immediately connect to this person, to this event, I will donate 100% of my commission off of that sale to this charity.
Wow.
So here's the way the math works. Let's say this person that you know has a $300,000 house to sell.
Mm-hmm.
My commission would be 3%, which is $9,000. And I'll give all $9,000.
Wow, look at this.
This is big.
To that. So come equipped with somebody that needs to buy or sell.
This is awesome. You always have trouble coming up with a title after these podcasts. I think you just found it right there. Charter is donating big money.
Charter donates $9,000 to Ponseti International.
Charter potentially donates. You guys have to do the work. Someone has to come up with a name or somebody that needs help.
What if Fred calls you up off of this and says, list the house?
What if it's a $1 million house?
I would donate all $30,000. If Fred wants me to sell his house, I'll donate $30,000. I'm on record right now saying I would give 100% of my commission back. There you go.
Chris, looks like
if Steve Prohm calls me to help him buy a house in Ames, I'll donate 100% of that commission. I don't do this for the money, guys. I think a lot of people think, oh, he does it for the money. I don't care about the money. I do this job to help people. I get paid in the process. But one check is not going to make my year no matter what. Selling Fred's house won't make my year or not make my year if I don't do it.
Yeah.
Okay? Because I have a lot of great clients. So, yeah, Fred.
So you're saying, hey.
I will give 100% of Fred's commission. I will give 100% of Coach Prohm's commission. And that beats anybody that Iowa State is going to hook him up with.
What if it was a $10 million house, Mark?
Doesn't matter to me.
$300K?
It doesn't matter.
Is that
3%? No, because this is.
You're right. You're best good.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
This is.
If you don't mind me asking, what's the biggest house you've ever sold?
Yeah.
$1 million.
You have sold a million.
Yeah, $1 million.
How'd that feel?
Here's the catch. It's a house that I technically bought with my family up in Okoboji. And all of the money I made in commission went back into the house.
So, oh, really?
So it didn't feel that great.
What
frankly.
About the real estate of our Cyclone Bar? You know my guy, Matt Urban?
Yeah.
You sat next to him at the party of the Cinch?
Yeah.
He's in. Yeah, I golfed with him on Monday.
He wants to be a partner now.
Yeah, he's in.
Okay. I liked him. Yeah.
He said you talked to him about it. He's an entrepreneur.
I might have.
He's a smart guy.
I was knee deep in Doritos at that point.
We're all drunk and Charters is
did you
chowing
see the
down on
did
Doritos.
You see the picture my wife posted on Twitter the other night?
Are you drinking milk?
Milk. I'm sitting in bed.
Just disgusting.
With a gallon of milk. So no, let's see what can happen. My offer, by the way, is 100% legitimate. So if anyone knows Coach
Prohm.
Well,
you're on the record.
Yeah, you can't go off.
If anyone knows Coach Prohm and says, Coach, this guy's willing to donate all of the commission to a charity, it's on him now. So I'd love to help you.
Kathy from Ponseti International.
Yeah.
Called me the other day and they're really excited about this.
Good.
Cause it was National Club Foot Day on June 3rd. And actually, my daughter's doctor is in town, I believe today or it was yesterday with Governor Branstad, and they're making, you know, like when there's a holiday,
yeah,
you gotta like make it official. And they were making it official.
Really?
For that,
that's
yeah.
That's cool.
Actually, the timing of this couldn't be more perfect.
We're in the same month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're pumped because they don't get stuff like this very often.
Well, I'd love to give a really big check. So we'll see.
Would I.
We'll see what comes up.
And then, so what our money is going to basically is so we can send, we being America, can send our doctors to these third world countries to treat these kids.
So they can walk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that they can walk. It's such a minor problem here because we have doctors and
yeah.
to fix it.
Yeah.
But over there, it's like, man, if you're born with one of those, good luck.
The problem is, like, from what I've learned about you about clubbed feet, is that it isn't, even if doctors went over there to start the process of it,
mm-hmm.
it's not like one surgery and you're done.
No,
it takes a long time with braces, et cetera, to get it ultimately corrected. So in these third world countries, would they do that? Would they do the required necessary day to day that they would have to do for years, it sounds like, to keep it like where it needs to be?
Yeah. That's why they are educating, and it's cool though. Like every time we go to Iowa City, there's a different like doctor from a third world country that's there learning. Yeah, it's cool. I've learned so much through it.
Is it prevalent in other countries? Like,
oh,
it's
yeah.
a lot more common.
Yeah.
Hmm.
A lot of those third world because a lot of times club feet, like it was with our girl, is hereditary.
Yeah.
But it can often be caused by mom doing something she shouldn't be doing while she's pregnant, smoking or drinking or
doing a Dustin Johnson. Yeah.
Coke off of Wayne Gretzky's
booger sugar.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. This conversation just.
Well, he said it. I just had to enlighten people where
Dude,
he was going.
Dustin
with that.
Johnson's wife.
Are they married yet? Gretzky? I don't know if they're married.
She's his baby's mama, isn't she?
He might be getting the milk for free, though.
I don't know if he's married.
He might be getting the milk.
He needs to lock it up.
He has a lot to worry about. Like, he's a relatively good looking, rich.
Yeah, but it's Gretzky's daughter.
It might be his wife.
Yeah, they're married.
What's her name? First name?
Gosh, I don't know.
Like Brenda?
I don't think they're married. I think he is.
Paulina.
I think he is getting the milk for free on this one. Can you verify that, Gray?
I'm looking.
Ask your friend Google. No, it's a well-known fact he likes the booger sugar, and that's probably why he withdrew this week.
He denied it in that interview, though.
Well, he lied.
Of course.
in that interview.
Have you not learned anything over the last 3 or 4 weeks covering this coaching search?
Yeah.
Chris, let me ask you this. Did everybody tell you the truth over the last 3 weeks?
Actually, I feel like I did a pretty good job on it.
You did. But I'm sure there's some people that lied to you that you did not report on.
Yeah. I mean, but I feel like I had a pretty good idea of what was going on.
Yeah.
Like that Hornacek thing, his agent's a liar.
Yes.
Like that report was 100% true. His agent's a liar.
You feel good saying that now, don't you?
And I invited that guy to come on my radio show to tell me how my report was wrong, and he never responded. I called him 5 times and I emailed him.
No response.
Yeah, there are people lie to you all the time during coaching searches. In fact, one of the Buffalo Wild Wings podcasts, the summer series, Bloom and I are going to do untold stories of coaching searches at Iowa State.
That'll be a good one.
Yeah. Everybody's got their own damn agendas. And you got to, like, that's the biggest. Especially, you have no idea how many freaking, like, emails from people I don't know I've gotten. So I got a ton of them at the end on that Greg Marshall was, like, taking the job.
I never heard Leith his was name gonna, mentioned.
Leith was going to pay. Oh, I can show you. Leith's going to pay him $3.5 million.
Why didn't he? Come on, Chris. What happened there?
Because Marshall never wanted the job?
Did Pollard squash the deal? Is that what happened? Did Pollard say he didn't want to?
There was the people I don't know, like, before Fred had even left, saying that Hornacek was a done deal.
So these are people that are trying to give you info, which actually isn't info.
Like, well, they think it's info.
This is unsolicited email saying, here's what I know.
These people mean well. They're not trying. I don't blame the people who email. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
But they, like, it's just like how these things get started.
Yeah.
And I have a great story, and I'm going to save it for our podcast, but about when Jim Harbaugh wanted the Iowa State job and the campaign that was behind him.
And that's legit. He wanted it.
He would have been our coach.
Here's the problem, though. Part of me is like, big deal. He would have been the coach for 2 years. I would have been gone.
It would have been a nice 2 years, though.
Yeah, 2 years.
If we would have had Jim Harbaugh.
I would take Jim Harbaugh for 2 years.
I would, too.
Kidding me?
We had Gene Chizik for 2 years. Which 2 years would you trade with?
Yeah.
This is part of my problem with the way I think Iowa State fans in general, and we're guilty of it. We just did it. We're constantly looking, like Mark said, for a guy who wants to be here for his entire career.
Yeah, it's true.
Which, if I would have told you, Adam, Fred Hoiberg's going to be here for 5 years and then he's going to leave for the Chicago Bulls.
Take it.
And you didn't know what happened in those 5 years, there's a pretty damn good chance that you had some fun, right?
Yes.
So if I'm going to tell you right now that Steve Prohm is going to leave in 3 years on his own accord, chances are he's going to do well. Now, it can always go the other way, like Greg McDermott.
Yep.
But that was an anomaly, I think.
I was just going to ask you, where's he going? Like, yeah, it really depends where he's going.
The problem is, for the fan base, that's not good enough for a lot of people, because Iowa State has been has had a culture of losing for a long time. 0-12 football seasons, the whole deal. We've stunk there.
Wait a second. We were 2-10.
All right. But we've stunk in. Well, Walden had had a winless season, I know.
Walden's my guy. I love going on two guys named Jim.
We stunk in basketball for a while. Obviously, right now we don't. We have a little bit of the redheaded stepchild mentality. Okay?
Yes.
We just want to be loved. That's it. We want to be loved. And that's why we are so in favor of coaches like Finley, who doesn't want to go anywhere at all. When we want that for football and for basketball, is it reasonable to feel that way?
Absolutely.
It's reasonable to feel that way. Is it practical that's going to happen?
Yeah.
No. It's not. But there's the disconnect. We've got the basketball coach that loves, the women's basketball coach that loves Iowa State. No intention of leaving, as far as I know. And will probably retire as the Iowa State basketball coach. And that's what we want, but we're not going to get it. And that creates the disconnect.
And this isn't a knock on Bill Finley or anything, but there's how many options does he really have?
There's so much less pressure on he self-imposes pressure, but you don't, like, our women's basketball forum isn't blowing up with anger when they lose.
Well, and he's not going to the WNBA to coach like Fred is going to the NBA.
Correct.
I mean, it's not there, as big. I mean, college basketball is for women's basketball is probably bigger than the WNBA. I don't know.
I would think so.
I got to imagine ESPN gets more people that watches UConn Notre Dame play than watches the WNBA finals.
How many women's jobs are better than Iowa State with the fan support we have here?
Five.
You've got
UConn,
Tennessee, UConn, Notre Dame,
Stanford,
Duke.
I mean, Texas and Oklahoma probably are.
Yeah.
But they're not going to hire Bill Finley.
It's a top 15 job.
Yeah. Yep. With the top five fan base.
Women's basketball, the recruiting is much more like, if you can say, hey, there's people actually going to be watching you.
Yeah.
That's huge.
Yeah, I agree.
The men's game, I mean, you pretty much got a crowd wherever you go.
Nah, not necessarily anymore.
Not like a Hilton crowd, but you have at least people showing up.
8,000 people maybe. Yeah. Unless it's Carver.
In women's game, I mean, it's feast or famine.
Yeah.
Jabbing on those.
Did you know that they're going to four quarters?
I did know that.
I didn't know that until yesterday.
For women's?
Yeah.
Why would they do it and men wouldn't? What's the reason? Or why do men are why don't we already play that way since that's the next step up?
It has something to do with the timeouts and getting games going faster, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know.
That's Bloom. Bloom would know.
It just seems done. The college game is not aligned with the NBA game as much as possible. Shot clock, quarters. Doesn't have to be identical. Dude, you don't have to have the same 3-point line.
It would be interesting if you would put a 24-second shot clock with some of the like average to below average college teams, it'd get really ugly.
That's what I love about the NBA, though. I've been watching all the playoffs, and I love how they inbound the ball. They bring it up, and pretty soon they're already into it. They're already into it. It's great.
I've been saying it for years. NBA basketball is better, more fun to watch than college basketball.
I'm loving the finals.
It is. I'm
the
sorry.
The finals are entertaining.
The playoffs are amazing. I'm a college basketball guy. I probably always will be. But I'll say this. With Hoiberg going to the Bulls, the Bulls have always been my favorite team. When you combine that with the playoffs in general this year, the playoffs have been unbelievable. The Western Conference playoffs.
Yeah.
Just the storylines, like every single series. Like it's been fantastic. Next year, when we're at Benchwarmers after our show, I'll be there watching NBA with you because I am totally bought in on.
You're going to watch Dougie McBuckets light it up next year.
I can't wait to watch the Bulls. Like, I will.
You know you're making some Iowa State fans very sick right now.
I don't care.
This.
Like, I will have my DVR set for every Bulls game, and I will be watching.
Yep. I've always said that I think the reason that there's not more NBA fans in Iowa is because there's no players from Iowa State currently in the NBA. If all of a sudden Monte Morris goes to the NBA and has a 12-year career like Jeff Hornacek did, there'll be more NBA fans. They just are because they'll watch them.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I'd rather have Fred here, obviously. But if he's going to be anywhere else, there's literally not a place I would want him more than being the head coach of the Chicago
Lakers.
Bulls.
I can't remember if we talked about this last week, but I'm genuinely curious, and I don't know if you've heard anything. Royce White, any chance he becomes a Bull? Because I keep hearing about the comeback, and he wants to play.
I'd say there's a chance, but I wouldn't call it a good one.
He did well with Fred, obviously, before.
Why would anyone sign for Royce White?
They wouldn't necessarily sign him to anything meaningful.
Why would
they especially
sign
in Fred's case.
For a dollar.
I don't know.
I would give him a summer league deal if I'm Fred and just see what he does.
See what he does. I mean, the upside is huge.
One coach in his entire career has been able to get through to that guy.
Hey, but let's be honest. He signed a contract for 3 years, then couldn't play. His contract's over. He's hurting for money. All of a sudden, now there's talk. He's coming back to play.
I know.
The upside for a minimal investment would be worth it because that's chump change in the NBA.
But I mean, I think he'd be a nice NBA player, but would he be good enough to where you would even want to bring in the headache Royce White?
There were moments where he was, in my opinion, the best or top three in college. Especially, I mean, you go back to the Kentucky game and the way he was playing at a certain point.
He's a freak. He's a phenomenal talent.
He could be really good in the NBA.
I personally just don't trust him. And I think he'd bring a lot of headaches.
Well, yeah, and you have valid reasons to feel that way.
If I was Fred's advisor, I would say that you don't need him.
No.
Not on that roster.
Now, here's the one thing.
I agree with your point, though, Mark, on the minimal investment and what you could get out of it. But Fred, like... It's your first year there. You've got a veteran roster. You're going to have one of the top returning rosters in the game. Don't make your first big move, Royce White.
If I am Fred and I bring him back, I say in the contract, you have to get rid of all social media. I don't want your drama crap that you do on social media.
And he's been really quiet lately.
I stopped following him. So
he's probably trying to have a comeback and realizes that's not a good move.
So
but do you ever like, I'm not criticizing your point here because I agree with you too. Is there a part where I believe Johnny Manziel is legitimately trying to turn over a new leaf.
Yeah.
Like he's living with his old high school coach now. Like he seeks treatment. Like if Royce could prove that to you, would you ever
Yeah.
Would you ever give him another chance?
He would have to play for a year. Because here's the thing with Johnny Manziel. His contract still isn't – it's not up. You know what I mean? And he's trying to change things. So I think Johnny Manziel is just trying to become a better person and a better player. Royce White took him 3 years. 3 years before he finally was like, you know what? I need to make money.
I think in both cases,
the way I can make the most money in my life is – you know, I might not love basketball, but I can make millions of dollars playing basketball, so I need to get going again.
Manziel had an easy,
I don't trust that guy.
Manziel had an easy choice, though. He could either knock off the crap and quit drinking.
Yeah.
Or make $20 million over the next 10 years or whatever that might be. You know, if he didn't stop it, he's out of the league. And how much money would he not make if he's not in the league?
And here's the thing with Manziel, though.
A lot of money. That's a powerful motivator.
And money is always great, but he doesn't really need the money. He comes from a very, very wealthy family, correct?
Yeah, but that doesn't mean that.
No, I know it doesn't
you
mean
get it, that it's your money. No, I mean, maybe when your parents die, you do.
But he's already guaranteed probably what, $20 million with his rookie contract. He probably already has that guaranteed money.
Boy, isn't there part of you though, like just we as in fans of sports, we entitle all of these guys though. Like, think of all the attention that a guy like Royce and Johnny Manziel get, and it's just like, and they're doing these things constantly. Yeah. Like Royce, like the Twitter thing.
Yeah.
How many tweets did he put out? And then, you know, fans just fawn over everything he puts out there. And it's just, it's positive reinforcement for that type of behavior.
Social media has changed the world.
And then writers are writing full stories based on just his Twitter feed.
A tweet.
Yeah.
Just his Twitter feed. I mean, that's all.
And then like with Manziel, where he's out drinking with chicks and taking selfies. And think of all the dudes who – all the comments. Like, it's positive reinforcement for these guys. And then all of a sudden you get to a point where it's all crumbling down on you and you have to make a change.
Yeah. In the case of Manziel, though, I'm not – this may sound dumb, but I'm not entirely convinced that he's that good.
No, I'm not either.
I'm not either.
You know, certainly not good enough to be worthy of a first-round draft
pick. Boy, I'll eat crow, though, because I wanted the Vikings to take him, and it was more just for
you
fun.
You were pissed when they didn't.
It was more for fun. But I was pissed, but then when they got Teddy at the end, I was like, oh, okay. Then I was okay with it because they had a plan to get a quarterback. But when they passed him at first, I was furious.
Yeah.
Gladly will eat crow.
And he became well-known because of making some crazy plays. But a lot of those crazy plays were dumb.
Yeah. He does have that it factor.
Yeah, but that only lasts so long.
That's what I was going to say. How long can that work?
You know, we've seen some people with the it factor, you know, go downhill quick.
Now,
even like RG3, who's much more talented than Manziel, he's not lighting it up anymore either.
No.
Now, that's what worries me about like Mariota. I think Mariota's more talented than Manziel. But is he going to get there and get figured out as well? I don't know. You know, it's rare to find the Andrew Lux and Peyton Mannings of the world, though, at the quarterback position.
Yeah, it is. One thing about Royce White I will give him credit for, or I would say it'd be a good reason for bringing him in, you got to have someone stop LeBron. Royce White's got that body build, and he's a fairly quick guy for being as big as he is.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's smart enough to guard LeBron, but LeBron's not going to bully him down low like he does Jimmy Butler.
Are you guys bothered by the way LeBron drives to the hole,
right there,
by the way?
I'm not saying he's going to stop him.
It's not a bad point. I'm just thinking, like, I've never thought about that. No. I thought about the comparison, but I'm like, I just don't know if you could ever convince Royce to like focus on his defense.
Take a charge.
Well, if you're like, hey, Royce, buckle down, man.
I hate how LeBron drives to the lane. You know what I'm talking about? He like picks up his dribble at the free throw line, and then he literally football carries the basketball. He cradles it in his gut like a football.
Yeah.
Nobody can get to the ball, and then he'll get a foul call almost every time. There was a call on him the other day. He was out near the three-point line.
Yeah.
He wasn't touched.
Don't even get me going on that.
No. I'm talking about the right call by the officials. This would have been game one or game two I'm talking about. I don't know if you watched the games.
Yeah.
But he literally was not touched, and they called a foul. Someone was trying to strip the ball away from him.
Yeah.
And basically he turned it over, and they still called a foul. He gets those calls a lot.
He does. Not as much as Michael did. Michael Jordan used to, I mean, you couldn't even breathe on Michael Jordan. They get a call, but he gets those calls. Curry never seems good. I mean, you're right. Curry got tackled.
Curry doesn't get fouled a lot, period.
No, I mean, he's a point guard. They don't get fouled as much. He doesn't take it strong to the lane. But, I mean, LeBron James is coming like a train at him at the end of that game. Doesn't slow down. Sweep tackles him, pulls him by the arm down to the ground. No foul. I mean, it was the most absurd thing I've ever seen in my life. How is that not a foul?
Yeah. The one thing that does bother me about the NBA right now is that the reviews anytime anybody gets any kind of contact that looks even remotely suspicious, they got to stop the game for 3 minutes to go review it, and they're just fouls.
It's soft.
In most of these cases, they're just fouls.
Yeah, it's soft.
And LeBron, I mean, for being a really good player, probably the best player in the world, big baby too. Yeah. I mean, he will squawk like nobody's business if he thinks he got fouled and it wasn't called.
Yep.
And over the course of a game, that probably helps him.
You know, one thing I've noticed during the NBA playoffs is Twitter people battle back and forth. LeBron's better, Jordan's better, Kobe, all this stuff. You know who the most overrated player in NBA history is?
Harrison Barnes.
Michael Jordan.
Stop.
No, Michael Jordan's the most overrated basketball player in NBA history.
I gotta hear this argument.
No, he is.
Go ahead.
Do you know who the best basketball player in the NBA history is?
LeBron James.
Michael Jordan. But people act like Michael Jordan never missed a jump shot ever.
Well, yeah, if social media and stuff existed back then, then
it was a different era.
Totally different era.
It's unbelievable. I think Michael Jordan probably, I don't think he's definitely like some people, probably the best player ever to live, and he still may be the most overrated player because people act like he never did anything wrong.
It's
never
hard to it's hard to argue with what 6 for 6 in the NBA championships.
Okay, but what if LeBron wins 5 out of 10? So he made it to the NBA finals 4 more times.
Here's the problem though. Part of I think what it's the eye test. Okay, LeBron's a great leader, drives to the bucket, plays defense,
rebounds, passes, does it all,
yeah. Right? But he doesn't pass the eye test when it comes to something like shooting a jump shot, and Jordan did.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. When you look at them as players and put their video side by side, who looks better? Jordan, by far, looks better.
Jordan's got that gliding. He kind of glided as an athlete.
Looks smooth.
LeBron is just a powerful freight train that would just run you over.
Completely different type of player.
Absolutely.
So it's like people comparing the best point guard of all time to the best center. That's ridiculous to compare the two. But
we've now turned into every other sports talk show in the world.
What do you want to talk about?
But I think it's been a very interesting conversation. Have you ever heard anyone say that Michael Jordan's the most overrated player in NBA history?
No.
Okay, so back off. That's a good take
ridiculous.
Right there.
I'm happy to talk about anything you want to talk about.
That's not ridiculous. Do you get my point I'm making, though?
Yeah, but you also said he's the best. You can't. So the best can't be overrated.
Because people think he is so far clearly above everyone else that no one else is even close to Michael Jordan, and that's not true. There are players that are almost as good as Michael Jordan have been. I mean, let's just be honest here. The 90s basketball was terrible. He beat up a bunch of stiffs in the 90s. Stiffs. Sorry.
Chris, I know you want to talk about boobs, but... I don't have any.
That is. I would rather talk about. We gotta go. Though.
I don't have any. I don't have any good boob stories this week.
Well, when we get done here, you can Google some.
What should I bring to the table for next week? I can bring a. You know what I'll do next week?
Yeah.
I'm going to bring another game in that Chris just rolls his eyes at.
Nice.
Because he doesn't want to talk about sports anymore.
I have been dominating the games.
I'll be like, here, I have a game. Chris will go, oh, great. Great. Really? Thanks. So,
all right,
I can't win for losing around here.
Oh, good luck finding Steve Prohm.
Spread the word, man.
Well,
all proceeds.
It's clearly right now not about the money. So, you know, tell Coach if you want to have a lot of money donated. It can even be in his name. Boom.
Oh, now we're working his PR side.
Yeah.
Attaboy.
How can he say no to this now? I mean, if he says no, he's got no heart.
Because he's already hooked up with an agent. That's how he can say no.
Thanks for listening, guys. June 26th, bench warmers. Put it on your calendars. Spread the word. And T-shirts. We have T-shirts.
T-shirts coming.
T-shirts are coming. Later.
Boom.